Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play at Walt Disney World Resort.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle, because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider, and also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
The perfect season for Jet Lawrence! Hunter Lawrence, your 250 national champion for 2023!
Well, everyone, welcome to another episode of Title 24 presented by NBC Sports. I'm Ricky Carmichael, got my co-host back, Ryan Villapoto. Before we get going, as always, we got to thank Motorsports, Quad Lock Case, and of course, Boxo USA. We appreciate your guys' partnership. We got a really fun show today. Some great guests we're really excited about. I think you guys are going to enjoy that later on in the show. But before we get to that, RV, welcome back to the States. You were at VXON. Tell us about it, dude. Was it good?
Yeah, fans looked good, dude. So the Vet MXON, just I went over, spent the weekend just outside of London, and Doc Wobbs and Dave King, they started this, you know, event 2 years ago. Was the first time. Last year was the first time. This was the second year of it. Last year, about 20,000 fans. It grew to about 30, 35. And mind wow. you, we're
Holy
anything
crap.
That is, yeah, it's crazy. Anything that is on the motorcycle track has to be 2003 or older. So, and then, you know, there's even older than that, but that's the newest model of motorcycle you can ride is 2003. So to see 30, 35,000 fans show up and watch, you know, bikes that are, you know, vintage bikes, you know, really, and it's pretty nuts. You know, the fans, they really get behind the racing. Great Britain won this year. Team USA got third. We had a little bit of a rough go. But yeah, nonetheless, they're like family over there. I'm going back next year. I totally enjoy it. It's one of the best events all year.
Yeah, it looked like a lot of fun, and the weather, it was pretty good on the race day, right?
It was. It actually, as I don't know if you've rode Fox Hill, Ricky, but it's typical European clay. So any bit of moisture can really ruin it, but it actually sprinkled just enough where it made it a little bit greasy, and then it was done. It was finished. It knocked the dust down. So weather was, from a spectator standpoint, perfect. And as from a rider standpoint, it was great also.
Yeah, I raced their RV, and it kind of sucked because it rained majority of the time. Like practice,
it was a mud race, right?
Qualifying. Practice and qualifying day was awesome, but I raced there in 98 for the Motocross of Nations.
Yeah.
And like I said, it was awesome for Saturday, and then Saturday afternoon it started to sprinkle and just basically rained the rest of the time. But I was so bummed because I love the track, and to your point, it was like a hard clay, and it reminded me a lot of how Gearback used to be back in my day. I don't know how much time you spent at Gatorback. It was very similar to Gatorback a long time ago. So nevertheless, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was a great time. So yeah, it was
Is it gonna always be there, like every year, like at Fox Hills?
As far as I know right now, it'll be at Fox Hills for that event will be, but I know there's talks of, man, because it's grown so big, there's so many people behind it now. There's talks about it expanding once again, becoming bigger. So you know, I don't know exactly what capacity is at Fox Hills, but if you were to ask me, if they weren't right at capacity, they were over. They sold out camping. They had to rent another field next to another farm field next to already of the fields they had for camping, because they had sold out so, so many people showed up. So it's really cool to see.
Wow. That's cool, man. So we talked Team about, USA, we got
Ricky, Team USA, RV, RC, and we'll find somebody else.
Let's do it. Let's do it. I would love to go back there. I thought that track was awesome. And you did anything, it can't be as new as 2003, you said?
Yeah, 2003, 2004. So like mine was a YZ steel frame YZ 250 that I raced last year and was supposed to race this year. So pretty decent motorcycle. You know, it's fairly modern, you know, I would say. But yeah, just the atmosphere of everything, you know, like I said, like you would really enjoy it. It's a sight to see. You got to do it once.
Yeah, I love it. Maybe next year, schedule permitting, we'll be able to do that.
Yep.
And I think it is time to bring our special guests in. And this week, we are so pumped to bring in the two newly crowned Pro Motocross Championships, the 450 division, 250 division, Jet and Hunter Lawrence. All right, two special guests today on Title 24 RV. Man, this is going to be a good one. Boys, Hunter, Jet Lawrence, the two newly crowned Pro Motocross champions, both in the 250, 450 divisions. And boys, here in Florida, it's been a wet one the last couple of days. I had to come over to my parents today to do a little recording because I am out of power and out of internet. But great outdoor season, fellas.
No, thank you. Thanks for having us on here.
A couple questions before we crack into it. Hunter, epic weekend for you. Obviously, a lot of pressure there at Ironman. Obviously, you got the championship. Congratulations. But really, as a recap, pretty uneventful other than that, right?
Yeah. Yeah. By no means were we lighting the world on fire in the motos. safe to say that's for sure. We were just kind of second moto. We were just kind of, I don't know, looking at the fans, just kind of trying to whip over a few things and just pretty much out there wasting fuel, essentially, in all reality. But yeah, first moto was unique because it's, you know, you go in with intentions of going out to win, you know, and then you come around the first turn and then it completely changes, you know, when you're getting caught up in a second turn pile up and then you're like, main focus is, all right, where's the championship guy that, you know, the main one you have to beat? Who's second? And when I seen Cooper down on the ground, yeah, no, that was a textbook start. And yeah, thankfully I didn't go down. And then I was like, all right, just kind of, you know, bring it home. Don't do anything stupid. Cooper's behind me at this point. My mechanic was doing a good job of letting me know where he was throughout the whole race. So kind of a bit of a boring end in all reality, because I'm racing to the guy that was, I think, you know, coming through the pack, we're at the 17th or 16th. Not quite the championship finale people were hoping to see, like they got rewarded within the 450 class.
Well, hell of a comeback. I got a couple other questions for you. We'll get to in a few minutes. Jet, so a lot of talk, obviously, about going undefeated. Congratulations on that. Hell of an accomplishment, especially, I think the most special thing from a fan perspective is you watching you do that in your rookie season in the premier class. But I mean, was 22-0 even a thought before the season started?
At the start of the season, definitely not. But I think once like the first few rounds, like the first four rounds went past and I was still undefeated, I think that's when it clicked in. Each round I was goal to go undefeated, and I think that would have got broken the weekend. I would have got beat. So, okay, now we don't focus on that. We focus on championship. But yeah, I think after that first 4 weeks of racing, it was kind of like, all right, let's we're coming back at Red Bud. I know I like that track. I feel like I ride pretty decent there. We're gonna have Chase coming back, so I have to make sure I stay focused, which almost helped me just kind of make sure I stay focused, not just kind of let loose and just kind of go with the flow and just ride with talent or this kind of cruise, where like a high point ended up going down because I just kind of just switched off, just went to riding and ended up biting me. But so it was after the first four rounds, it was in my mind, and after each race weekend it was okay, it's another race weekend off, and then kind of trying to keep my mind onto that was a was the big thing, and trying to stay focused and not try and get too ahead of going, oh, what if I do get it? It's like a kind of more stay present. All right, let's make sure it happens, instead of trying to think of, oh, what it would be cool if it would happen.
Right.
Yeah, no, that's definitely got to stay in the present. But hey, Hunter, I got a, you know, a couple of questions for you, or a question for you. Like, I know you mentioned that it was kind of an uneventful, you know, Ironman race, but your season was not uneventful. You know, you had some bike issues, a fair amount of, you know, two or three first turn crashes. Definitely had, you know, you had to really pull some stuff out of the bag a few of those times, you know, with some injuries and things like that, you know, with the soreness. And I think, I mean, your season was like, I know the last race was uneventful, but it was not uneventful up to that point. Right. So how'd you keep your head into it, you know, and fighting for that? I know that you're, you know, racing against some rookies, but for yourself, like having, you know, that's motocross, it's supercross. We know that there's these bike failures and things like that. And, you know, we watched Hayden have a bike failure and it's motocross, but you just got to keep clicking them out.
Yeah, for sure. I think the biggest thing was what I think I personally think I did well was just managing myself. You know, it was as long as I can give the best Hunter Lawrence for, you know, 2x35 on Saturday. And if I win, great. That's what we're working for. But if I don't, then okay, why, first of all, you know? And then for the bike, you know, failures and those DNFs, it's kind of like, you're only in control of so much. So it's not like, you know, my team isn't working relentlessly to give me the best equipment and to make sure this stuff doesn't happen. At the end of the day, dude, the stars don't align and some weird stuff can happen, you know? So it is what it is. It was either, oh, hey, I'll win this title or I won't. That's as simple as that. And I was okay with that, I think, you know? That's what maybe let me deal with it, because it was like I knew I was the best guy all year, and it was like, okay, well, you know, a bike failure here, a DNF there, if it's meant to be, it'll happen. If not, then so be it. You know, I really put a lot of emphasis and not pressure, but a lot of emphasis and really made sure I executed Unadilla and Bud's Creek to give myself the best shot coming into Ironman, set myself up with the best percentage to go out and wrap this championship up in Ironman, which I think I did really well. Unadilla and Bud's Creek were a must win for me.
Yeah, hey, Jeff, very pivotal moments.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, Jeff, what was like, I know every weekend has its challenges, right? And you racing the 450. I know you spent a lot of time leading up to the series, basically riding on the 450 prepping. But what do you think, looking back on the championship, was your biggest challenge overall? Like, take 22-0, take that out of the equation. What were your biggest challenges, do you think, from the championship?
Obviously, like, I don't know if it was much of a challenge, but definitely one thing that I was focusing on was making sure I execute my starts each race weekend, of having two really, really good starts and trying to manage very well. But I think one of my most difficult races, I don't know. I think...
Dumped you.
Yeah, I'm trying to think, because it's like...
Like, was there ever a point in time, like, and I'll tell you this much, maybe it'll help you. Like, I don't feel like you looked that comfortable at the first two rounds like you did from the third round on. So was there ever a point in time where, like, maybe the first two rounds were harder and like you were learning the bike in a race situation, or not really? Am I just seeing things?
I think the first one I was okay, because I didn't feel it was too much of a struggle, because I knew the track had a limit. Knew if with Chase, I found that limit of the track. I'm like, okay, if Chase wants to get around me or anything, he's going to have to go beyond the track limits and kind of push that, where it's questionable of, oh, if I can keep doing these laps. Yeah. And even I tried it with three laps to go at Parler in that second mile. I tried pushing a bit, and I even made a mistake just because the track wasn't allowing me to. So it's that one was probably pretty difficult, but it wasn't so hard. I mean, the biggest question for me was Hangtown, because it wasn't – Hangtown was never really my track. I never really felt like I could go way fast than everyone else. Like, I, on other tracks, I feel like I could just kind of pick the pace up whenever I wanted to. Where here, it was kind of – didn't quite had the good flow of the track. It was pretty dry, not too rutted and technical. So it was more of a – that for me. And obviously, that second moto, I didn't eat enough in between. So I was pretty – had no energy in the second moto. So I'd probably say that, but I mean, there's been how many races where Chase has been on me for how many laps for the whole 30 minute moto or and stuff like that. So I mean, it's hard to pick one.
Jet, what about, you know, obviously we saw, we all saw 22-0, but if there was ever, if Chase ever put you in that position, not that he did, but if he was ever going to put you in that position to where he was going to be able to make a pass, what was your strategy on that? Where you'd be like, okay, if he's faster than me, he's going to make the move if he can, and then you're going to regroup and follow? Or what was, have you ever thought what would be your move if you would have been put in that position where he would have passed you?
I think people like Chase and Tomac, I think because they are very smart racers, you got to make a – I feel like with them, you have to make a pass pretty quickly on them. I've always had that in mind with Chase or Dylan. I have to spring a pass on them pretty quickly. I can't have a half attempt, because then if you make that half attempt and show your cards, they're smart enough to change their line to go to that line. And even with you – being behind them, some of them can just feel you in that different line that's faster and take it. That's why I feel like I'm pretty decent at, is I can hear Chase and hear other guys where they're different lines, and I can switch to that line and kind of defend before they even try and attempt making a pass through that line. But I think with Chase, I would have had to, if he would have gotten me, I think I would have just tried pressuring him into making a mistake or trying to get him right back, which I feel like try and almost pull a Kenny move, you could say. Kenny is really good at kind of retaliating after someone made a pass on him. He's really, really good at passing straight back. I mean, I got it at High Point. I got him, and then he got me at like two turns later. So I think, and I've been out. One obviously helps is being so in touch with my bike, is I'm very confident just twitching lines and kind of hitting that line fast. So I think that would have helped. But like I said before, I think it would have had to be instantly after he got me, just to really like break him, to be like, oh, I just got him and he already got me back, to kind of get that mental kind of game going of disbelief almost.
Hey Hunter, so like you know, like Southwick, Redbud, I hate rehashing this, but it leads to the question that I'm gonna ask you, and I know that a lot of people realized this until you did that sit down for the NBC show with Bubs. But dude, how crucial was that break for you after Washougal? Like, did that break, looking back, was that a blessing in disguise?
Yeah, absolutely. Because
I think there was the tube had a leak in it for sure, dude. It seemed like it did. Maybe I'm wrong.
Well, yeah, like, I mean, Washougal was a tough one just because the track's super high speed and it's a tough one to pass on. And my starts weren't great. So you put, you know, two top three starts, I think it would have been a completely different story. But yeah, Redbud obviously coming in after the first four rounds, I kind of healed up the rib injury, and then first motor Redbud at, you know, good start, and then just pretty much walked away. And then the second one obviously happened what it happened. But yeah, Southwick was tough. You're fighting a rib injury as well. So you're already riding compromised, and then the bike DNF, you're kind of like, oh, bummer, that's a bit rough. And then what did we go after Southwick?
You went Millville.
Right? Millville, that's right. Yeah, Millville, which that was a good one. That was a lot better. And then Washougal. Washougal still wasn't terrible as far as riding, just that crash and that second one. But yeah, the break is good. It just helps you. There's little niggling injuries when you go four weekends in a row, you know, it's tough. So it does help. You don't realize how much. It's literally just the off weekend. It's crazy how much wear and tear and damage you do to your body on a race day when you're carrying these small injuries, that it just beats it up. And that one weekend off, or even two in this case, really does help. Which, funny, I was said in a thing last night. The two weekends off we had, we were engine testing, trying to find, you know, some improvements and stuff. And we had a freak accident that the engine seized off the face of a jump, and I went flying through the air and landed on the down ramp and rolled out of it in the off weekend before Unadilla. And thankfully, somehow miraculously, I just got out of it with like a sore back, but my ribs were okay, which was bizarre. But you know, like, wow, those little scares are crazy, you know, the stuff we went through and what we pushed through pain wise and all that, the DNFs, and to still have, you know, wrap it up a race early was just, was unreal. You know, it was just a painful summer, to say the least, of everything I pushed through, you know.
It shows you how much, to the fans that are listening and watching, like, you know, obviously these guys only see us on the weekends, right? And they only watch us race on the weekends and can listen to the commentators on what's happening. But the things that they don't see, and really the ins and outs, is what happens during the week, like that, like a bike failure during the week. You know, there's nothing we can do about it. It's just part of the sport. It's not that you have bad equipment. It's, you know, they're changing the motors out as quick as they can. Exactly. When they time out. Like, yeah, it's nobody's fault, right? But to see the nagging injuries and then, you know, the stuff that you guys all have to go through during the week over the course of a year, you know, every single week dealing, managing this injury, managing this, managing the motorcycle, you know, the testing, all of those things, and going out and winning is, you know, that's the crazy part of our sport. That's what makes it so special, you know, when you knock down championships and wins.
Yeah, especially on the 250 side, where, you know, we don't see this many DNFs in 450. It's just the 250s where they're trying to extract every bit of power out of that engine. And it's a single piston. It's a small engine, and the numbers and how hard they rev and stuff. So it's, you know, not about reliability. It's when you take anything and push it that much, it's, you're bound to ask for issues, you know?
Yeah.
Hey, so Ironman, great again for the Lawrence family, for you, Hunter, for locking up your first Promotocross championship, Jet, for you going undefeated. But then you guys have a little go-kart race, and Jet, you want to talk about, like, just you, how you don't probably after two wheels is over. You want to talk about that?
Yeah, we had like kind of a little celebration with the team just after the year, and after seeing how poor Hunter's results were on the weekend with going 5-10, and we still have another whole series going on with Super Motocross. So as a good brother I am, I obviously didn't show my full potential, because I'm just like, come on, like, when you get that confidence up after going 5, and then I think, I don't even know how far back we were in the second one. It was like a minute or something, I think. So I'm like, come on, bud. We need to build the confidence back up through go-karts, and we're going to try and build that up during the week.
Come on. So that's the next goes well, right?
That's just how good of a guy he is. Not only did he let me get my confidence up, but he let 6 other people get their confidence up as well at go-karting.
Yeah, so I decided, like, I'm gonna be the bigger person here. I lived through that. So I decided to let other people beat me, but then also just the people behind me just mess with them and screw them over.
So straight up, it wasn't the equipment, nothing like that. You got served,
it was,
right?
It was equipment a lot, but we just accepted.
Are you saying that you could have gotten Hunter's car and you do you think you would have beat him?
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
Oh,
you know,
dude,
what's so crazy, is, Ricky, is,
yeah,
my guy had 5 different carts.
and all 5 of them were terrible.
There's only 20 carts
excuses,
in the building.
Excuses.
I used all my luck through the undefeated season, so I had to get unlucky at some situation, and I ended up just being go-karting. That was just where I was unlucky.
Which I don't know what's worse, bragging rights after the go-kart race around family dinner, or, you know, your luck running out during the outdoor season. I think this one's probably going to hurt more than outdoors running out, the luck running out of outdoors.
Yeah, because, I mean, in the outdoors, at least you're still like, oh, yeah, I at least won this many motos. Yes, I said I didn't go undefeated, but go-karts, it's
wild, you know, like the undefeated, the guy, geez, just cash cow, probably could have bought the go-kart place after the undefeated season, but he still could not have bought the go-kart world championships win that was held on the Sunday.
Well, yeah, maybe I should have slipped a couple hundred bills to like the workers there and get the best card. But they always look against younger guys. They look at younger kids. They think they're gonna run amok, so they just give us the worst card so we can do the least amount of damage.
Hey, Artie, you know what they say: you're only as good as your last race. So looks like Hunter's carrying the flag for the brothers.
That's right. That's right. You're only as good as your last race. And right now I see Hunter with one up on old Jetson.
Well, that's fine. I'm coming in as underdog.
Couldn't finish the season on a 6.10 at Ironman. We had to finish strong.
I went sixth. I thought we at least got fifth. Jeez.
Oh, I did. I haven't even looked at the moto scores, man. I couldn't tell you.
6.10. At least one Lawrence put in the top 10, top five.
One last question, like pertaining to the Pro Motocross Championship, Hunter. Was there anything that outside of the DNFs or the mechanicals, was there anything that caught you off guard or surprised you about the championship and just the Pro Motocross series in general?
My good looks.
What did he say? I didn't hear it cut out.
I don't know.
Something about his good looks.
Oh, yeah. Right. Yeah.
Whenever he's cutting out all the time.
Yeah, sure. The freaking Candy Crush.
He's got water in the carby.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. No, not really. There wasn't really, I mean, anything that caught me off guard. There was a few guys that I thought would be a little more up in the mix earlier on in the season. But other than that, I mean, gee, you got to – really just take it moto by moto, expect the unexpected in some scenarios. But no, not really, mate. It was pretty, obviously, I have done it for a few years. I've got, you know, two or three prior seasons. And obviously with Jet, being around him and knowing what he went through and what kind of stuff happens.
Yeah.
Not, I want to say not really, you know.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? When we come through, it's true magic, because we came to play at Walt Disney World Resort.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. LED headlights, spoilers, whatever you need. eBay Motors has it at affordable prices. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride every time. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Of course, we got to thank our fantastic sponsors, United Motorsports, Boxo USA, and Quadlock Case. We appreciate you guys. Remember, unitedmotorsports.com. Check them out. If you are in the Ohio, Kentucky area, they got 6 locations. So check it. Stop it. Check them out. Go in the store. You can get Boxos in store. You can get Quadlock in store, I believe, as well. Quadlockcase.com. Their product speaks for themselves. And of course, Boxo USA, go to boxousa.com. Remember, the lifetime warranty with Boxo is incredible, super easy to return. We talked about it last week. Just send them a picture. They'll send you a new tool. So we appreciate you guys. Thank you very much. And then remember the promo code for 10% off. It's Title24. 10% off promo code is Title24 for all three of those companies right there, Boxo, Quadlock, and United Motorsports, and it's site-wide. Hey, so we move on. You guys only have one weekend off, and the inaugural season of the SMX World Championships, 3 rounds, kind of a hybrid track. What's your guys' Jet, you go first. There it is right there. You guys tuning in. The people who are listening on Amazon Music or if you're watching his on Peacock or Motorsports on NBC YouTube channel. There you go. There's the SMX playoffs overview. Three rounds, Charlotte, Chicago, Los Angeles. Points are doubled after each round, two motos each round. So it's 20 minutes plus one lap for both the 50 and 450 class. Prize money per round is 404 grand. Total points fund, 5.5 million. So what is, let's see here. Since you're going to do the 250, let's start with you, Hunter. What are your thoughts? What are you assuming that it's going to be like if you had to guess based on what you've been heard, told, and knowing the hybrid track?
Yeah, from the information we've been given, we're somewhat expecting, you know, obviously it's going to be in speedway. So something similar to Daytona, Atlanta, track layout, a little more high speed with less supercross rhythms and obviously no whoops. So that kind of just makes it seem, okay, it's going to be similar to supercross, but a little more high speed. I'm expecting it to get a little more rough because of the, you know, it being more high speed. So it'll be interesting to see with suspension and stuff like that, how it feels.
There's Chicago. And, Chicago.
Yeah, there's Chicago. So yeah, it does. They look pretty high speed. So I think it's going to be interesting. I'm curious to see how long a lap time is. The track seemed a little bigger than the typical supercross track, but obviously the speed's a lot higher. So do they come in at the, you know, sub 1 minute or just over a minute, or where that range is, you know, the 20 minutes will have us doing, you know, a lot of laps, or maybe it'll be, you know, pretty reasonable, same as supercross. But yeah, it's interesting. Kind of shoot from the hip a little bit at round one, and then obviously you go from there.
I mean, you win the 250 championship, world championship, and, you know, 500 grand, what, for the title. That's nice. And Jet, for you, $1 million on the line. You're going to get to race some guys that you don't have a lot of time racing against outside. You know, Hunter's going to be in the 250. So for you on the 450, are you kind of expecting the same now that you've seen the track designs? Like, what's your anticipation?
Well, yeah, just kind of like the game plan really is just kind of coming in with an open mind. Like kind of said, we don't really know exactly what it's going to be like. We've heard it's going to could be like this, like this, like this. So it's like, it's kind of just coming in and just being open to your bike coming in, not being perfect straight away. Because like a lot of supercross, you kind of know how to set your bike up our first round. Even though you feel good on practice track, you still got to make some small adjustments, but you pretty much know the base. Where with this, it's such a different thing. We don't know if it's going to be a lot more G-outs, like kind of where we need the stiffer suspension or need stiff suspension, but then it has to be still soft enough for the fast turn. So it's going to be exciting because we go in, we're going to race the first round, and it's going to be coming back to the chalkboard and bringing out the notebook and seeing what we all wrote down from the first round. And oh, we could be going in with a total new bike the next round, or we could be hopefully we're close, but it's the exciting thing about it. So is that no one really has a honest clue yet.
Right.
Yeah, no, it should be really good. You know, like I think the track layouts look really good. I'm really looking forward to the Coliseum. Not so much downtown LA that much, but obviously the historical Coliseum, and you know that you guys are going to be able to race Paris style. I mean, it's been a long time since Moto's been back in the Coliseum. So, you know, I think, man, you guys are going to be the lucky ones to race in there. I think it'd be really, really awesome to race LA Coliseum. So, man, I hope it's everything that we've been hoping and seeing and been told that these three races are going to be. I think they're going to be epic.
Yeah, no, 100%. It's going to be cool because I'm pretty sure Osho raced there, right? Yeah, so we get to race.
I raced there in 1997, actually. So, at the time, in 1997, the AMA allowed
you. I wasn't even a thought.
No, you weren't, dude. You weren't, you weren't even a thought. That's right. So, dude, I'm old. So, in 1997, it was really cool. The AMA would let – so, I was signed up for the East Coast. So, I could race, like, two or three West Coast races, but I just couldn't accumulate a certain amount of points. So, one of the races that I did was the LA Coliseum. It was yeah, cool. It's just a historic place, so it's gonna be fun to watch you guys. Another topic similar to go karts, and I want to know what it feels like to have your manager be the Florida golf champion of your own club. He comes to your golf, your guys' golf club, and he takes.
Oh, mine. That's Hunter's.
My club. Oh, yeah, I can elaborate.
Your sticks, not his.
Yeah, no, they were, well, my stick, they're the same sticks. So it's like, you know, riding your practice bike or your race bike. Let's be real.
We know the difference between those. They're not that sweet.
Yeah. So first of all, I'm going to start with the excuses. So it was the Sunday after Daytona. So I'd raced, you know, late night, not performing best. Jet was in contention till the last pole.
But I was testing all week on 450, so.
So.
The testing's not racing.
He did beat us.
It is a long day. I was leading, but like they say in golf history, a two-stroke lead is the worst lead in golf history. And, yeah, I fell apart.
So, yeah, Lucas has the Florida State Golf Champ title at the moment.
But didn't I get the one in California, though?
No, we were in Idaho, mate.
No, you guys are – I think you got – no,
oh,
I think
Idaho,
you guys
– yeah,
are,
I got the Idaho.
You're the Idaho state champ growing potatoes. Potato man. I'm going to start calling you Idaho potato man.
It wasn't even close, Ricky.
He's as smart as a potato, too.
So who's like California? Who's California state champ?
We haven't really done one in California.
Yeah, we haven't done one there yet.
Really?
Because Lucas knows he likes to do it after a race where we're like sore, tired.
He'll golf when it's convenient for him.
Yeah.
And if it ain't convenient for him, he don't golf.
Well, he's got to have the upper hand.
Hey, yeah. Well, that's the only way he likes to do it is when he has the upper hand. That's exactly what we're getting at.
Okay. Hey, boys, I would join this. I would join this golf. You know, these title chases for the golf, but I'm still waiting on my clubs. It's been 3 years since our mate used my clubs. He borrowed them and flew around the country with them chasing you guys. And I showed up with 3 or 4 clubs missing because the shafts got broke and a couple of them with a bent shaft, and I'm still without clubs. So.
I don't think you want to be on the golf course. It gets pretty verbal abusement on
when
the,
he hits
on the
a bad shot hold with my clubs. The first thing I say is, "Don't you dare break my club." "Don't you dare throw it. Don't throw it. Don't break it. Don't bend it." Because, we suck at golf. We can't be we're not good enough to get mad at the club after we hit a bad shot.
I got a question for you, Hunter. How many times did he throw my clubs?
You don't want to know.
It's, I think, more than times he's hit the ball.
Mate, there was times I seen the whole bag go. Those things are written off. If golf clubs came with a Carfax, they're salvage title, buddy.
All right. Square biz here. Who out of the three of you, who is the most honest player? Who puts it out? Does Mertz put it out, or is he that's good?
Lucas is the biggest cheater.
Get a little fluff here, and
I don't want to hit him. This could damage my club, but then yet he throws it 50 yards. So
if he goes OB, does he drop it in the middle of the fairway, or one of those guys, or does he drop it right in?
No, he'll drop it where it went out, the point of where it crossed OB lines. He'll drop back there. So he does drops. Yeah, there's worse people, believe me. There was one thing he said to me that stuck, and I don't mind it. We were playing and he just kind of kicked the ball and he looked at me and I looked at him and I was fine with it. Me, I don't care. You play whatever you feel comfortable with playing. And he goes, I can't remember. It was a big, maybe it's an expensive course or whatever. And he goes, "We don't pay this money to play shit lies." And I was like, that's a fair call. I get it. You pay, a nice call. You pay $150, $170. I don't pay $170 to play shit lies. That's a viable. Hey, that's a good that's reason. Why, I can
guarantee you. Hey, golf clubs anywhere. They get ripped off by me. You know why? Because it's like per swing. You per right. I'm for sure passing anyone on per swing or strokes for sure. So they're well, losing
if you pay
money
for the full round. You know, you want to pay for the round. You got to pay use all the course. You want to use all your course. You know, you're a quality over quantity kind of golfer, is what we like to say.
That's right. I like to stretch the dollar out. You know what I mean? It's like
there you go.
Oh boys, this is good. This is good. Well, RV, what you got? You got anything? What's up, dude? Oh wait, hold
no,
up.
I
hold
mean, yep, yep.
Our producer question here. Go for it. What's the question, RV?
Let's see, Jet. When you won the 450 title, you sat and stared at it. What was going through your mind?
That trophy.
Looking back at it, I think the biggest thing was just kind of.
Were you trying to find my name?
Yeah, you see, you're
no,
like,
I actually
dude,
didn't see an
name. Damn, RV's a gnarly dude.
I seen Ricky's like multiple. It was easy to find his because there was a few in a row. I was trying to find Osho's. I just thought it was funny. I was looking, I'm like, damn, your guys' one's all like carved into it. Mine was just a metal plate, looked like with a pen, Jet Lawrence stuck onto it real quick with some double side tape. But I think I'm like, oh, really? This is. It's just stuck on like this, but then what's his name? Jim Perry came past. He's like, "Hey, do you have the trophy? We need to take it and go and lazy your name." I'm like, "Oh." So I was like, "Thank gosh!" I thought I was stuck with the stuck on one. But no, there's just so many things going through my head that I it's hard to go off of everything. But it's just kind of this all the you just get flashbacks of stuff going through, just kind of looking back and trying to. See yourself even thinking if that was possible or just anything, any thought of this writing or leading into us was going kind of through my head and seeing all the names is just wild. Obviously seeing Eli Tomac's name on there, how many championships he's won on there, Kenny, Dungy, I mean, all the names on there. It was just crazy to see, my first year of 450 and already have my name on there.
Yeah, it's got to be almost, you know, folks were watching the video, the replay of that, and he, you know, Jet, you're sitting there, it's probably, you know, I can only speak for myself, but I'd be sitting there holding that trophy and almost as a sigh of relief of, you know, it's finally done, it's here, we've accomplished it, and, you know, as for what was running through your head currently right through there, probably not enough. You, like you said, you were looking for names to see who's on there and be like, oh, that's, you know, but as for sitting there, it's probably just a huge sigh of relief, you know, when that finally was over.
Yeah. And obviously like one of the crazier things is to think of that, like just looking at the names on there and just seeing like all the legends on there. And for example, like I've seen RC's name on there. It's like, oh, I talked to him. Like he's, I would classify him as a friend, an RV, like seeing all those names is just like, geez, I never would have thought my name could be like even talk to those guys or see them in person where now my name's on there with them. I would classify those people as friends with obviously Ricky, you, RV, James, Dungy, I know, like it's just a wild perspective of looking at that and going, wow, I've actually talked to these guys, not just as a fan, but they've spoke to me as a friend and felt the same, like the respect of kind of that, like, what's the right word I'm looking for? But like this kind of, it was more than just a fan type of thing. They actually talked to me as a friend kind of thing of just a normal conversation, which I would never have thought in a million years I'd just have a regular conversation or going out to dinner with Ricky or you going to your house, even RV for the barbecue yep. one day. I never would have thought it would happen.
Well, I'm still going to – I still have the image of you in – what was it? Not Jerez. It was in – where were we? We were at FAM.
Spain. Somewhere
Spain. We were in Spain somewhere, yeah. And I'm just – my image still is going to stick in my head of Jet Lawrence, slicked back hair, all gelled up real nice. Oh, and here he is standing in front of me.
Hunter, can we get a picture of this? Do we have this? We can pipe it in on the edit of
Hunter or Jet, you were what, like
I was like 10 or 11, but I actually have a quick story on that. It was funny as, because
let me see if I can find it real quick.
I never knew that RV was going to be there. And so at the hotel, right, like, it was just fancy as, like, I'm like, dude, this place is awesome. They had a playground near the pool. Like, I didn't even know this was possible. They had the hotel logo in the bottom of the pool. I thought that was wild. And the gym was right on the kind of pool area and like the playground. And I was running, playing. I was like 10 or 11. So I couldn't just sit inside and just do nothing. So I was down the playground, running around. And as I ran back, the gym, obviously glass window was there. And I look over and I could see Ricky and his, like running in there. I'm like, so I ran inside. I ran to Daz. I'm like, I think I just saw RV in the gym. He's like, yeah? I'm like, yeah, let me go double check. So I ran past, running sideways, literally running this way, looking at him. Not like I was hiding it at all. Ran past, acted like I did some playing again, then ran past looking at him directly, and then got back to that. Yep, yeah, that's them. And it was funny. We're getting ready to go for our dinner or like some prep, like we're in all our suits and that stuff, and we're in the lobby waiting for our cars. And RV's wife was standing in front of him. Me being a little kid, she looked like she could whip the absolute crap out of me. I was so petrified. I'm like, I did not want to make her mad. I thought I'm like, this dude, RV don't need no bodyguards. This could beat the crap out of anyone right now. So I was like just standing there like so scared of her. And I was finally able to talk to RV once his miso went and got, like, I don't know if she's getting drinks or was going to do something. Then I finally went up to RV and, like, introduced myself and got to talk to him. But I had to wait for her to go so I could kind of finally get the courage to go say something to him.
Oh, man, that's so great.
I think your brother stepped out. He's looking for that picture. Maybe he...
Yeah, we lost a soldier.
Maybe he found it or whatever. So
yeah, I can ask mom also. She'll have a photo. She's got a Facebook, so she's got all the photos from when, like, back in years ago when we were little. So we'll find it somewhere.
It's probably so cool for you guys to go back down and look at those old pictures and stuff and just see how far you've come. That's awesome. That's awesome.
No, it's an awesome thing.
Cool, man. It's good.
Yeah.
Here he goes. Hold on. There he is.
Sorry, boy. Phone went flat. I found the photo though of RV and Jet talking.
Okay.
Nice. Hunter just text it to me and then I'll send it to the 24 group chat.
All right.
Hey boys, so I'm gonna volunteer RV and I. We're gonna be your guys' caddy for the California state championship.
That'd be awesome.
Okay, because RV and I will probably be enjoying ourselves, you know, like
100%. Let's go, RC. We need
hydration
to do that.
I'm definitely picking Ricky because I feel like when RV, whenever he gets that special liquid in him, I think everything just goes loose. Everything just goes loose. It's like, hey, RV, where do we go? I whack the frigging thing. It's that way.
I'll help you pick your clubs. I've swung some clubs before.
All right, take use this one. That's a driver RV. We're on the putting green.
That's
hybrid. I'll get you a hybrid.
Yeah,
Ryan. We're gonna prove him wrong. We're gonna prove him wrong.
That's right.
Let's go, Hunter. We got it. I feel like between me and you, you got a little more serious side of it, a little older, you know, and, you know, I think we'll be a great team.
He's going to need all the help he needs to get. It's been, I mean, once up that first swing goes, it's like, I'm sore. I mean, my ribs from like 3 months ago still hurts. It's a, Everything comes out. Every excuse. I mean, I come out with excuse source on the golf course. That's just the main area.
Jet, it's okay out. Because Jet, I'm Doc G. I can get. I'm a water boy, goggle, boot cleaner, club cleaner, ball cleaner. Whatever Hunter needs, I got him. We'll be fine.
We need a proper ref for Lucas to make sure there's no foot wedges. Follow him around.
Yeah,
Jet lives on a golf course. He goes and whacks balls nearly every day. I don't play during summer. Wintertime, I play more, and I whoop him. So it's fine. Let me get a few rounds under, a few swings. We're back to the
Confident. Feeling confident.
It's all good. Give me a good date.
Let me give me a date so that I can know when I can start, like,
he can play off training, his handicap. You know? I'm sure he's like a 7 handicap or whatever. I'll give me a 20. I'll play a 20 handicap. Sure, that sounds good. I'll play a 20.
All right, boys. Hey, we appreciate you. Congratulations on just an epic season. I mean, fantastic. Both of you in the 250 regional Supercross championships, and then obviously, of course, for Motocross championship. It's been fun to watch. And the story, obviously. We always talk about it. So we'll see you in a week and a half's time in Charlotte.
Sounds good.
Thank
boys.
You. Thanks a lot, boys.
Bye, guys, and congratulations once again.
Thanks, boys.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? Step up like a boss and save the day? Or see what life's like under the tree of life? Did you? If you could, would you? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play. Bring the magic at Walt Disney World Resort.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow, and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour, and they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit truegreen.com, TRUGREEN.com, to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Always fun to have those guys, RB, right? They're just like a ball of fun, dude.
They are. It was really good to hear their insight, you know, and the struggles, the highs, the lows of the season. The bragging rights, you're only as good as your last race. And looks like Hunter's on top of that one. So no, yeah. Just thank you for those guys for coming on and letting us into their life.
Yeah, no doubt. Good stuff. Going to be a lot of fun to watch these guys here at Charlotte squaring off this weekend. I want to get your thoughts, and I want to talk to you about, dude, the inaugural season of the SMX playoffs, round one starting September 9th. Saturday, it's going to be a day race. Well, I say day race. It starts at 3, ends at 6. So like the afternoon, which I love. Dude, I'm amped up for it. I think it's going to be good. So your initial thoughts, 250, you know, you got Hunter, Joe, Hayden, Justin Cooper, basically all the guys that we just got done watching at Pro Motocross. There's the lineup right there. You can see for a lot of people tuning in, and I don't know how many people knew this, but see, it's a points reset all the way on the right-hand side of that chart right there. Hunter Lawrence comes into the SMX round one in Charlotte with 25 points, Hayden Deegan 22 points. So it's really, I mean, it's anyone's game, especially that second and third round, you really are going to have to run up front and be consistent. What's your thoughts on the 250, big dog?
Man, I like you said, really excited to see, you know, see the race at Charlotte, also Chicago, and once again, LA Coliseum, very, very historical, you know, venue. But no, I think what's really going to be interesting is I know we've had these day races, and I know we've kind of already raced on road race courses, right, NASCAR courses in the past, Atlanta and other places. But now we have two motos, you know, it's two 20 plus 2 minute motos. You know, like Hunter had brought up in how long are lap times going to be, is not that I don't want to say is fitness going to be an issue, but fatigue may be an issue for some of these guys, right? Because they're going to do these motos, what they would do of one main event, now they are going to be doing two. So, you know, this is Charlotte, correct? I believe.
Yep.
Charlotte looks like we have a split lane, you know? So I think the track's going to be really cool to see how it's going to turn out. You know, we're watching a computer animated right here. We got the Yamaha.
Oh yeah. It's a split start.
Split start. And it looks to be like, you know, there's going to be fair amount of rot lines out there. It's a little, there's here coming up on the split over the tunnel, or you can go underneath. But obviously, as you see that if you go underneath, it makes that turn a little bit tighter. There's going to be some really cool things to find out how this thing's going to play out, because just the track and how these riders are going to approach these races. Yeah, really long rhythm lane.
Yeah, really long rhythm lanes right here. And you can see this, then a huge sweeper right here. And I think the key is, you know, having it being a hybrid track, somewhat fast, like to RV's point, he was saying about racing in the daytime, probably going to get a little bit choppy. So the bike setup is going to be key. And it's going to be interesting to see which of these teams and riders are able to figure out just what riding, you know, rider setup or bikes is going to work best for this this hybrid track. I'm all for it. I think it's great. I think it does cater, in my opinion, in the 250 class. You tell me if I'm wrong. I think you take a guy like Hayden Deegan, who I feel like he is, you know, letting it all hang out. He rides that fast pace. I think this is fits right into his wheelhouse, in my opinion.
I would 100% agree with that. And in his riding style, and he's been, I mean, Ironman, for example, like, I know we didn't touch on the track so much, but man, he was sending it out there. There was a couple jumps that one particular that I don't think anybody that had jumped except for him, not that it was that much faster, but the size, the balls you have to do to send it and do that. I think it's going to promote him and show his strengths on that track. But then you also have guys, you know, like Hunter, for example, that very calm, cool, collected, and calculated on how he rides, that can go that pace, that's just not all out send. So it's gonna be interesting to see, like, to your point, it starts at 3 o'clock, so we're still gonna have that sun beating down on the track. Square edge is probably gonna be a little more apt to come up as the track dries out. We have two motos, so it's gonna be really interesting to see, and also to see what kind of strategy, if there is a strategy for some of these riders, how are they going to approach these three SMX rounds?
Yeah. You know, another thing too, thinking about if the lap times are like a minute 20, I mean, just looking by that, I don't think that any of them are going to be less than a minute. There's no way. Maybe the Coliseum, but no shot that's going to be for Charlotte, Chicago, which is cool. That's what it's supposed to be, a hybrid. So let's just say the lap times are 120 to 130, 20 minutes plus one lap. I know the laps are long, and I know it's 20 minutes, but I don't know. Like, for me, I'm a lap guy. They're not going to be doing that many laps if you think about it, because the track is so long.
Yeah, exactly. So it actually kind of works into the favor of the racers. Obviously, with the longer of a lap times, and you're only doing 20, it's less laps. If it's just based on 20 minutes, then you're, or 20 laps, then you're doing a minute 20 lap time, and then you're like, geez, that's a lot of laps. You end up, you know, it's still only 20, but time is not on your side there. So I think it's going to be very interested to see how it all shakes down. I'm definitely looking forward to it. I'll be there at all three, doing race day live with you guys. I'm stoked on that.
Dude, that is awesome. That is so good. I think that's that's going to be fun, dude. That's going to be good. I think you're going to do great in there, and to be able to share your insight on RDL, I think that the viewers are really going to like that. I mean, you know, you're a multi supercross champ, so you know, and motocross champ. So to be able to, someone with your accolades, that's going to be cool, dude. I'm stoked.
Yeah, no, so am I. It's going to be really good, you know. So, got these three to knock down, and we'll see where it goes. Potentially do some more stuff with you guys, but I think we have some hell of a really good racing coming up. You know, it's going to be really interesting to see. I'm definitely looking forward to it. You know, as a fan.
Hey, what about 450 for the first round SMX playoffs? Jet obviously is the favorite, and we have the quad lock question that we're going to save, and it pertains to the SMX playoffs. But what are you looking for? I know that Jet's going to be squaring off against some guys coming in that he hasn't spent a lot of time racing, which always could put a twist in things. Now I sound like I'm trying to build some narrative, but I think is his odds. We had a question the other week. Do you think that his odds are better in SMX to be beaten, or do you think it's going to be harder to keep being unbeaten in SMX?
Honestly, Ricky, I think that it's scary to answer this question because obviously we know outdoors is I feel like watching Jet, like, very calm, cool, collected, calculated decisions. And, you know, outdoors, sometimes you have to, you know, you got to kind of leave a lot of that on certain tracks. You got to push that aside and you just got to send it. Right. So I think now that we're back in Supercross or a hybrid Supercross track, you know, maybe I'm wrong, but I think it's going to be a Jet show, and I'm going to call it now. That I just think with his speed that he has, his calculation that he has, how smart he is on a Supercross track or a hybrid track like this, where, you know, now we're talking about very tense in, you know, tense per lap, or, you know, he can be so perfect. And I think we're really going to be able to see what he can do on that 450 in Supercross just because of how calculated he is. I think you're really going to see him shine in this position. Not that we haven't already.
Wow. That's good. I like that. Yeah. I like how you're calling it out there, getting ready for that RDC, dude. Just, I mean, everything you're saying is right. I can't debate you on it. I think it's going to be fun for me, at least seeing some other guys, some guys that might be fresh, want to take him down. And when I say take him down, you know, just kind of, you know, not let him, not say let, but they want to beat him. They want to win. Take a guy like Ken Roczen. He's great on all tracks. Cooper Webb, he's going to be on that new machine. What's that going to look like? But
see, Ricky, I think where I see these guys having a problem is you have the high that Jet just came off of, and now he's going to have a weekend off. The pressure has the ball has completely deflated after, you know, the goal that he's been chasing for the last 12 months. And, you know, and for him, not to take anything away from SMX, because it's a huge opportunity right here. But as for the first things on the list is, you know, outdoor championship. And once we conquer that, then we can move forward and look for the SMX. And I think now that, like I said, the pressure and everything's been off of his shoulders, he's got a weekend off. They just said how much those weekends off helped them come back even a little more fresh. And I know it's going to do it all the same for these guys, mm-hmm. but we're talking about a little bit different of a human being here. Right. And when he shows up without any pressure and going to start and with 22-0 and now going to start a 3-race series, I think he's going to be hard to beat.
He is. He's going to be good. So that leads me to the quad lock question of the week. And it plays right into what we're talking about, SMX. And Riley Stevens, 56, first and foremost, Riley, thank you for being a listener and a fan of Battle 24 and RV and I. We appreciate your support. Riley asks, how does Chase Sexton mentally reset coming into the SMX after Jet's dominance? And RV, I want to hear it from a champion's mindset perspective. How does he?
Well,
does he do?
Okay. So, Riley, I think that is a tough question to answer, and the reason why I'm going to explain it all out right now is obviously we just watched it all go down 22-0 for Jet and Chase getting the short end of the stick. You know, all of those times, But I, what I do see is he's a little bit of in a limbo situation. He knows he's got these three races left, and then he's moving teams, right? So, you know, does he go out and he has a really strong rate round one of SMX? And then does that get the ball rolling, or is it a tough race? And then does he write it off almost? I don't want to stick words in his mouth, but as we know, that transition, as you know, Ricky, you can really attest to this because I never switched teams, but you did. At the end of the season like this, all you're thinking about is moving and getting onto that next motorcycle. And I hate to tell you this, he might tell you otherwise, but we know that it's a three race series, and we know right after that he's done. He's going on, and he's got to get ready for the current Supercross season coming up, right? So I think it's going to be really hard for him to honestly reset. I sure hope he does. I'm a big Chase fan. I know I just got done tooting Jet's horn, but I would love to see Chase knock him off the top of the step, you know? Yeah. But I just don't, I think it's going to be a hard feat for sure, but not out of the question.
Well, it is. And I'm going to back you up. And another layer to that is it's two motos. It's 20 minutes plus one lap. The field is going to be, you know, the field is going to be more stacked for sure. You have less time to cover from a mistake. And then, you take the double points on the second and triple points on the third round. That's where, like, you talk about mistakes. That's where you really have to eliminate them, because they are going to sneak up and bite you if you do that the way that this format is. So he is going to have to be ultra focused and really like looking ahead. And we talked about this on the show many times, RB, and you've hit the nail on the head so many times about you can't assume anything. You have to guard on the fact that, okay, if the bike works weird here, you adjust your line for that. If you know that you're running a tire that doesn't get good side grip, well, don't lean the bike over going up the face of a jump that much. So I think it's going to be tough. I think for those reasons, he's not just, none of these guys are just going to march up through the field. With these shorter races, all these guys can go that long. And then this is where I feel like I know, like, the track length is long. But
life is a highway. And on it, there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries, plus napkins, plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this, plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.